Keep listening next hour for your chance to win a family four-pack. The 11th Annual Blackhawks Convention at the Chicago Hilton, July 27th through the 29th. Get your convention passes and hotel guest rooms today. Book online at chicagoblackhawks.com. All right, Ambassador Bruce Hayman is in the studio with us. He's the most wanted man in America right now.
He is. Very busy man.
If you've turned on cable news today, you have seen him anywhere from the Fox, in the last 24 hours, from the Fox News Channel to CNBC to CNN. What am I missing?
A lot of Canadian TV, too.
And Canadian TV. I don't get as much Canadian TV.
CNBC.
And I get it. I just don't understand it. All right, so let's talk about what happened here. I mean, you're the former ambassador from the United States to Canada.
Right.
And you you left your office in January of 2017.
January 20th at high noon.
Now, Justin Trudeau.
Yes.
And you've spent a sizable amount of time with Justin Trudeau.
That's correct.
Do you think that, how much of this do you think on behalf of the Prime Minister and our President is stagecraft, and how much of it should we be worried about?
Well, I think you should be worried about stagecraft, especially when the stagecraft has to do with your best friend, your biggest trading partner, your next door neighbor, and honestly, the most beloved country that Americans feel about by Gallup polls people all the time. But here's what happened. And let me just take a minute to tell you this story, because actually the news of the weekend and all the stuff with Trudeau and Trump and the drama actually started a couple of weeks ago. And what happened was, I believe that the president's team was undermining this G7 meeting for weeks. They started with that steel and aluminum tariff that went in on June the 1st, and they did it to all the people coming to the G7 meeting, basically. So they knew what they were doing was disrupting this, Rob. And so,
why do you think they wanted to do this?
Because I think that the president wants to disrupt all of the organized structures that exist. And I use the word liberal democratic order. I don't mean liberal like in progressives Democrats left, right. But the structures that were set up in the post-World War II period of time.
Liberal democracies meaning places in which individuals, citizens can go and vote their leaders in.
That's correct. Yeah. And so he is all about disrupting all of that. Now, the interesting mindset I think that the president has is every deal, it doesn't matter who it is, every deal that the U.S. has done in the last 50 years, somehow we've been taken advantage of. Amazing how America has gotten through all of that and become the best and largest developed country in the world and being taken advantage to this extreme. But it's his belief. So he has jettisoned off, you know, all of these various trading agreements.
This is a long-held belief, though. The CNN ran a piece from him from 1999, interview he did with Wolf Blitzer in 1999, in which he was espousing all these exact same things.
Exactly. I think he believes this. Mm-hmm. Okay? And so as a result of that, his disruption of our allies, of Western Europe, of Japan, of Canada, and disrupting that whole group, I think was a mission. And so you wouldn't go lay that on a whole group of people, those tariffs, if you were going to go see them in 9 days. I mean, hey, I'm coming to the party, by the way. I just gave you this ginormous bill. And then what does he do? The rumors start coming out of the White House whether he's going to come or not. You and I had talked about that. He ends up coming on Friday, but what he does before he gets on the plane, he says, hey, I got an idea. Why don't we just add Russia to the party? And everybody, you know, he knew exactly what he was doing. There was no way you're going to add Russia to the party with the Europeans who just watch him take over Crimea. 10,000 people are dead, shot down that airplane over the Ukraine, and all those people died, poisoned the people in the UK, got involved in all these elections. You think he's going to get, you know, of course not. But he threw that out. Comes to the weekend, shows up late, misses the Macron meeting, then announces he's leaving early, does a surprise press announcement. By the way, there was a meeting that went before that where they were funding women and girls in education around the world. The U.S. didn't put a dime in. They opted out. And he shows up late while they're all meeting, kind of strolling in after the whole thing.
He showed up late for the breakfast on the Saturday morning.
Exactly. Right. So he shows up late, calls this press meeting, has this impromptu meeting. It was not planned. Mm-hmm. And at that meeting, he then says, we're going to get an NAFTA agreement, and it's going to include the sunset clause, which is the clause that was never going to be accepted by the partners, because it means that the whole deal just
that
fades
NAFTA
away
would have a
away.
5-year deal, and nobody, even Republicans, I can't. The one thing you're seeing, even our friend Adam Kinzinger was saying, you can't do that because no one's going to invest. As you made the point, Ambassador, right, last week to us, no one is going to invest in a car plant in Canada if they think that the NAFTA deal is going to go south in 5 years, because the plant's not going to be done for 3.
Correct. So then he leaves. He jumps on the plane. He takes off. Now, I listened very carefully to the Prime Minister's speech. I know him. I've heard him speak a million times over. Maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but a lot.
Right.
He was respectful, but firm enough, because every other country said they're going to have to retaliate against these tariffs and everything. So from the airplane, the president goes right at Justin Trudeau, makes all of these derogatory remarks, and says, I'm out of this agreement that we all reached over the last few days. So he, based on Justin Trudeau's comments, so he said, that I'm going to be out of the agreement with all of you. Okay? So I don't believe he was going to be in that agreement anyway. He was looking for an out, and he was going to do it on the plane regardless. And you know why? Because Navarro, on the next day, after he was saying all
Peter
the
Navarro, special assistant to the president.
That's what I think got a lot of people.
That got a lot of people mad, because he basically said there's a special place in hell for basically the prime minister. But there was something else he said. And he said that we opted out of this socialist agreement. Mm-hmm. And the way he said it, said, aha, they weren't gonna be part of this agreement regardless of what Justin Trudeau said. So the fact of the matter is, this whole thing was staged. It was throwing the G7 under the bus. Throwing Trudeau under the bus, because you know what? He had a narrative against Mexico all along on this NAFTA deal.
Right.
Now he's built his own narrative against Canada. It's not true, everyone. Canada is our best friend. They have a trading relationship with us. We have a surplus. By the way, he's talked about milk. We have U.S. sells more milk to Canada than they buy, than they sell to us. So we have a surplus. We have a surplus in agriculture, and we have a surplus in steel. This is our best trading relationship in the world, and he's throwing it under the bus.
I think it's the escalation in the language that struck a lot of people. What you just said, special place in hell for Prime Minister Trudeau. He's talking about an ally there. He's not talking about someone who's been on the U.S.'s side for a very long time through a long history. But then you saw Larry Kudlow also get out and say, the prime minister stabbing us in the back. There's this escalation here that you wonder, where do you
They both use that term, here? By the way. Both Kudlow and also Navarro use the term stab in the back. It clearly came
messaging
from the president.
Points.
It clearly came. Now, what you did not see is any cabinet member come out and say anything. This was all in the West Wing and this group. I specifically came out based on Peter Navarro's comments.
No, wait, you came out and did, because we haven't set that up yet. That's you've been making news all over the planet today, literally all over the planet, where Ambassador Hayman is requested an apology from Peter Navarro on behalf of the United States to Justin Trudeau and Canada for his statement that there's a special place in hell.
You don't say, as a representative of the President of the United States, as a senior person in the White House, that you don't say there's a special place in hell for a leader of a country, okay? Unless we're going to get ready for military action, I don't think you even say that. But this isn't just any leader. This is our next-door neighbor, member of the G7, member of NATO, our most comprehensive trading partner. We share these great, great lakes with them. And anybody who knows a Canadian, and I bet there are a lot of people here, they are the nicest people on the planet Earth. And not only, and there are
best
buddies.
There's a lot of families that cross the border. I mean, there are a ton of, especially in the 20th century, there are, if you came from Eastern Europe or Central Europe, that you've got family in Canada and in the United States.
That's exactly right.
And it's just a, to me, it It is just, it's a shocking disruption. I mean, this is a disruption for the sake of the disruption of it. And then for him to ask for Putin to be in it. Now, something else needs to be pointed out here, too. And for those who go, well, you know, Russia's a big country. We should, you know, listen to the president. He's right. Russia is not a big country. Russia in land mass is a gigantic country. But Russia, in terms of an economic power, doesn't qualify to be in the G8. There are four other countries that have a bigger GDP than Russia that are not in the G8, right, or the G7.
I think we trade something, what is it, like $27 billion with Russia, and with Canada, it's $670 billion.
Say that again.
That puts it in perspective.
$27 billion in trade with Russia.
I think that's right, but I know what it is for Canada. It's like $673 billion.
Okay. And so why are you making it, when you have two-thirds of $1 trillion in trade, why are you trying to make an enemy with that country, and you're trying to kiss up to a country that is a very small trading partner at the end of the day with the United States, and the only reason they are a strategic nuclear ally. Adversary. That is the only reason, and the ally that protects us from the Soviet missile battery is Canada. Canada has the NORAD system in Canada that actually protects us. So it's the early warning system. So if they launch over the polar ice cap, I hate to drag Tom Skilling into this, but over the polar ice cap, if those missiles come in, it's the Canadians who tell us. I mean, this is an absolutely insane move on behalf of the president of the United States. I do not get it. And to tick off Angela Merkel and the rest of to me, the scary thing is that the lessons of World War II are not just forgotten. They're being willfully ignored now. Why? Who benefits from that?
I think the other thing that, and I totally agree with you, the other thing is that I think that the president is judging our relationships just on dollar and cents. And I said all along, I think the U.S. will lose a trade war with Canada because the relationship is worth more than just dollars and cents. They've been there for us. Everybody knows the story of Argo when the ambassador took out, you know, our diplomats in Iran at the Ayatollah Khomeini. I knew Ken Taylor before he passed away. And I'm telling you, he is a Canadian hero. Everybody knows the story now of the planes being diverted to Gander, where there's now a play in New York that is a Tony Award winning play, Come From Away, on 9/11. And by the way, the Canadians were there in Afghanistan. They lost more lives in fatalities on a proportionate basis than the Americans.
And
they've
Iraq,
been there for us.
And in World War II, and in World War I. And, I mean, not in Vietnam, technically.
Right.
But we did, you know, but we've always, but during the Cold War, we have always, without Canada, we would not have been as secure during the Cold War as we were against the Russians.
Right.
And to be turning this around now because Vladimir Putin might have a pee-pee tape is ridiculous to me, because there's no other explanation for this whatsoever. And the president is tough. Today, new sanctions were just levied on Russia by the U.S. government. And at the same time, Trump is trying to say, oh, but we need to have Putin in, you know, our little club here, because he's trying not to personally tick off Putin. Even though the government realizes that the Russians interfered in our election, they continue to break U.S. law in terms of how they are trying to secure money in the United States and trying to launder money through the United States. And what do we do as Americans? What do we do? We want to stop that. The Department of Justice wants to stop that. The Department of State, for whom you worked, Ambassador, wants to stop that. But the rhetoric of the president is, hey, Putin's my friend. It's very disconcerting because it makes no sense.
Can I pivot back to Canada for a second?
Yes. Sure.
Everybody on this call, if you know a Canadian, they're kind of feeling really bummed out right now with the president and his whole team going at not only the prime minister, but they're saying all of these disparaging things about Canada. Take a minute. Tell a Canadian how much you appreciate the relationship next door. Tell them how much you know that the United States values this relationship and we'll get through this time. Visit Canada. Take a trip. It's so beautiful there.
I'll be there July 7th.
I'm just going to tell you, they are our best friend. and we're doing harm to this relationship. But all of us on the radio today can go out and make a difference.
And can you call Justin and get him on the phone, and we'll tell him that personally?
If he led the tour, I know a lot of people might be interested in going. I'm just saying.
I would be.
Yeah. Right, I know.
I hope he's getting a little rest after this weekend.
Tourism a little bit.
Hopefully his wife doesn't go.
Violetta!
Always
has to ruin it.
She's
got to
watch the kids.
Always has to ruin it.
One step too far.
Ambassador, thank you so much.
Thanks, Ambassador.
I know you've had an incredible day on the world stage today, and it's very nice of you to end it right here with us.
We appreciate it.
Thank you very much for doing that.
Thank you, Chicago.
We have now Judy telling us what's coming up at the top of the hour.